Much of our social interactions, including romantic encounters, have moved online. This also means that more and more individuals are experiencing cyber abuse when using digital technologies. Jessica Wurst has the story.
Approximately 30.4 million Americans accessed dating services in 2019, according to Statista.com. And while this already seems like a massive number of people, it doesn't even account for those connecting through social media platforms, online chat rooms, and good old-fashioned text messaging. Digital technologies provide an infinite amount of ways for us to connect online and have become essential to functioning in modern society. But what happens when people take advantage of the multidimensional structure of the internet to abuse other users?
You can still put someone down, call someone names, blame them for things which aren't their fault. You can still threaten someone, and you can do these via text or via message or via social media, just in the way that you can do them in person.
That was Project Safe Director Joan Priddy. What she just described is known as cyber violence.
It's basically using technology to engage in abusive acts, such as threatening behavior, intimidating, harassing somebody, humiliating somebody online.
Danielle Lambert, a postdoctoral fellow at UGA's College of Public Health, studies cyber dating abuse. She says that there are multiple ways that users can be abused online.
It could be through phone calls, through text messages, emails, social media platforms, websites, even some things that might not immediately come to mind, like using geo-tracking software to monitor someone's location.
Abuse can also range in severity.
It could be something on the less severe side, like a partner repeatedly calling you or repeatedly texting you. It can increase into like stalking, more public displays of harassment. Even things like revenge porn would be under this umbrella.
And unfortunately, cyber dating abuse may facilitate other forms of abuse. Joan Priddy again.
If someone is using technology to abuse or stalk someone else, they're probably mixing in some good old-fashioned ways as well.
And like many other types of abuse, cyber abuse disproportionately affects minority populations. More specifically, LGBTQ+ youth experience more abuse online than other groups. UGA's Danielle Lambert recognized this phenomenon and spearheaded a study funded by the Centers for Disease Control to find out more about why this happens, what the effects are, and how it can be ameliorated.
LGBTQ communities in the South particularly, they tend to experience more stigma, more discrimination. So that's why we're really focusing on this community and really looking at like, what can we do to address this? What resources can we really try to promote to help them?
More and more people are asking themselves the very questions that Lambert just posed. Thomas Kadri, an assistant professor at UGA's law school, says that our increased dependence on technology has created an increased awareness of this issue.
We depend on these technologies so much, and it's no longer an adequate answer to just say to people, oh, you should just go offline. Just turn off your computer, go offline, switch it off, leave social media. In my view, that was never an adequate response to digital abuse, but now especially, I think many more people can understand why that's not an adequate response to it.
And more often than not, increased awareness leads to legislation. 48 states have passed cyberbullying laws as of 2018, and 42 states have introduced laws that address the distribution of sexually explicit content without consent, including Georgia.
Georgia does have quite a few laws on the books that could be really relevant to a lot of these scenarios.
Kadri says that having laws concerning this issue is one thing, but their enforcement is the real testament to their effectiveness.
Are those laws enforced, right? Are people believed when they come forward, or do law enforcement think it's worth the resources? That's an area where we've historically seen, not specifically in Georgia, but often these types of harms are trivialized or not taken seriously enough.
For those who may be experiencing technology-facilitated abuse, Kadri recommends finding people around you to serve as a support network, as well as using resources that are available to you.
Whether that's going to police or seeking a restraining order yourself as a civil matter, or if you're involved in the university in some way, Title IX can be a really wonderful resource in some circumstances to try and respond to these episodes of abuse.
Joan Priddy from Project Safe says that their services are always available.
Project Safe's hotline is 706-543-3331 and our text line, 706-765-8019, to get some support and connected to other things related to this.
For Athens News Matters, I'm Jessica Wurst.